Vine Street, Hollywood and Vine. Yes, madam, this is Hollywood and Vine, crossroads of the movie world.
From Hollywood, American Products presents Erskine Johnson and his Hollywood personals. This is Truman Bradley speaking to you from the fabled Penthouse Studio, where Erskine Johnson interviews Hollywood celebrities of motion pictures and radio. Erskine Johnson tells you about these stars in his motion picture column, which appears daily in more than 600 newspapers, the most widely read movie column in America. Now we bring these stars to you in person to tell you their own stories. Erskine Johnson's guest tonight is the vivacious star of Universal Pictures, Miss Grace MacDonald. Now, here is America's most popular movie columnist, Erskine Johnson, with the latest Hollywood personals.
Thank you, Truman, and here's a story from Camp Roberts where comedian Red Skelton is learning how to be a soldier the hard way. The other night, Red was requested to tell a few jokes at the camp's weekly entertainment program. For more than an hour, he kept several hundred men in hysterics. The next morning, he was ordered to help clean up the auditorium. Commented G.I. Skelton, "This is the first time I've laid my eggs and then had to clean them up, too." Errol Flynn can't seem to escape the dolls, even when he's working in front of the motion picture cameras. A scene in his new picture, Objective Burma, shows airplanes dropping food by parachute to a group of soldiers trapped in the jungle. Flynn, playing one of the soldiers, descended on one bundle dropped from the sky, hacked it open, and found a huge rag doll with blonde hair and baby blue eyes. Yes, it was a gag carefully worked out by other members of the cast. The film censorship ban on sweaters can cause interesting complications in Hollywood. For instance, the case of Betty Hutton. Wearing sweater and slacks, Betty was having a wardrobe fitting for the costume she'll wear as a wave in a new picture. A cameraman was present to show the difference between Hutton in a sweater and Hutton in a wave uniform. There was no difficulty about the sweater, but when Betty donned the wave uniform, it was immediately apparent that no censor would pass the pictures. Studio stylist Edith Head did a quick remodeling job of the GI design to keep Will Hayes happy. Movie box office receipts have dropped considerably during the last 6 months because Hollywood, awed by the wartime theater boom, thought any old celluloid would make money. But after 6 months of turning out six bad pictures for every good one, the sagging receipts have the movie makers worried. Word has gone out to all studio department heads to bring up the quality of all motion pictures to post-war levels, and it's about time. George Sanders, Hollywood's self-styled publicity hater, finally revealed his spots the other day. Starting work in a new picture, Sanders brushed off the studio publicity department. So the publicity department boys just ignored him for a couple of days. As the film neared completion, Sanders was a pretty worried gentleman. In fact, he was following the press agents around the lot like a puppy, begging to get his name in the newspapers.
Now, from the confidential files of a Hollywood reporter, background for stardom.
Fate has played many strange pranks in Hollywood, but this story is the strangest one of them all. The story of a tie salesman and a girl and a casual remark that came true. 10 years ago, a young dark-haired actor down on his luck took a job as a salesman at a tie counter in a Los Angeles department store. It was the holiday season. He was anxious for a good sales record. It might mean a full-time job. Busy writing out a sales ticket one day, the young man didn't notice the approach of a famous motion picture actress to his counter. He looked up suddenly, and there she was, one of the screen's most glamorous stars. As you can imagine, the boy was thrilled and excited. The actress selected 2 dozen ties, and then, looking at the boy, asked if he'd ever thought of trying for a motion picture career. The boy was much too flabbergasted and embarrassed to answer, but he never forgot her or what she said. A year later, the young actor received the break he'd been waiting for. He gave up selling ties and went under contract at one of Hollywood's biggest studios. And in less than 6 months, he was cast opposite the studio's foremost feminine star. Before playing their first scene together, the boy drew a crumpled piece of paper from his pocket and showed it to the actress. "Do you remember this sales slip?" he asked. It was the sales slip for the purchase of 2 dozen ties. Yes, the girl remembered. That day at the tie counter, he was the clerk, she the customer. The boy, Robert Young. The girl, Joan Crawford. Background for stardom. And now a message from the confidential files of Truman Bradley.
When the war is over, everyone agrees that television will be the big thing. and radios that combine television with regular broadcasts and automatic record players will be available in many models priced as low as $200. That means that you can get one then for only $150 cash now. How? Buy two $100 war bonds today at $75 apiece. On their maturity date after the war, they will be worth a full $100 apiece. That's why everyone agrees that war bonds are America's greatest bargain. Buy an extra war bond today to ensure tomorrow's extra happiness. And now, here is Erskine Johnson with his guest star for today, Miss Grace MacDonald.
Someone, I forgot who now, invited me to a swimming party a short while ago. Now, at Hollywood swimming parties, you're likely to hear most any kind of conversation, but all conversations are usually variations of one subject, my latest picture. That's why on this particular day, I couldn't help eavesdropping on one that bounced along on a wholly different channel. The longer I shamelessly listened to the boy and girl talking, the more I realized that I was hearing a story. The story of Pop. Pop wasn't just a father, although he was that too. He was sort of a symbol, and even after he left his kids last December, he went right on being, well, Pop. The kids I overheard were Grace and Ray MacDonald. But you have forgiven me, haven't you, Gracie?
You couldn't help overhearing. We always get that good old vaudeville pitch whenever we're really interested in something. It's certainly nice having a chance to see Ray again. Mommy and I got pretty homesick for him.
By way of explanation, half of the famous MacDonald dancing team is now Corporal Ray, and he's with the Army Air Force show Winged Victory. Meanwhile, movie audiences are watching Sister Grace as George Raft's kid sister in the picture Follow the Boys. But getting back to those remember whens I heard, Gracie, I'd love to have been around when you and Ray were kids. Gosh, I bet it was interesting.
Oh, no, you wouldn't have liked it. Erskine, we lived in a tenement, you know, and practiced dancing. You see, Pop loved the theater. He saw every vaudeville act that ever existed. He caught footlightitis and never recovered. He thought it was the grandest thing in the world, the life of the theater. And he wanted it for Ray and me. So we made a study dancing. We used the front part of the stove as our practice bar. The neighbors used to knock on the pipes, hit the floor and ceiling with brooms for us to be quiet, but Pop would just take his pipe out of his mouth and say, "Never mind, kids. You just go ahead and practice."
Well, was it all work, Gracie? I mean, did you ever get a chance to be just ordinary youngsters?
Oh, sure, we played. Ray rode his bike like other boys, but the way Pop kept things going, we never thought of it as work. It was too exciting. You see, he was circulation manager of the old Judge and Film Fund at the time, and full of ideas. He'd say, "You know, you got to keep things fresh all the time. Got to have new ideas." And he certainly had them. We'd get dizzy keeping up with him.
But came the day, Gracie, when you got your first job. How did it happen? Did Pop get it for you, or...
No. We talked it over, and Ray and I picked out the best agent in New York. Youthful confidence. We were terrifically young, and I dressed older, and Ray wore a hat. He never dared take it off, or he looked his age. Anyhow, we went into the agent, and he felt amusement or whatever agents feel about very young teens. So he talked to us. I remembered Pop's pep talks. Boy, I talked a mile a minute. "We sing, too," I told him. "We have a fast line of patter. Tell gags, and we do everything." I've been talking so fast and furious, Ray never got a word in edgewise, but he didn't care. He was sort of shy. So when I pulled the gag business, the agent looked over at Ray, studied him from head to foot, and said, "You mean he talks?"
But you got a job and started out on a vaudeville circuit. What was the name of the act, Gracie? They always had names, didn't they?
Oh, sure. Pop picked it out. He thought it had a flair. The name of our act was Youth and Class.
Oh, boy.
Pretty awful, wasn't it? But we thought it was wonderful at the time. However, we had no illusions about our gags.
Oh, corny, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Write them yourself?
Nothing so original. Pop stayed at home, listened to all the radio programs. And without a qualm of conscience, he swiped jokes left and right. He was the Milton Berle of the living room. Sometimes he'd put notations on them. "This went over big. Make it your high point." Gosh, Erskine, those jokes still haunt me.
Well, why? I mean, what were they like? Well, how about a sample?
Oh, Erskine, you don't know what you're asking for.
Oh, sure, I can take it. I'll be ready.
All right.
Oh, okay, I'm right. Gracie, I'll bet you can't even spell. You're so dumb.
Oh, I certainly can spell.
Well, then let's hear you spell birdcage.
B-I-R-D hyphen C-A-G-E.
What's the hyphen for?
Well, it's for the birdie to sit on.
Oh, brother.
Murder.
You must have had lots of fun when you two were kids. But when did you decide to grow up, Gracie?
Well, it was in 1938. We landed a job at the Savoy Plaza in New York. I bought my first evening gown, and Ray was bedecked in a brand new tuxedo. We really were something. The Les and Yolanda had nothing on us. Our day had arrived. Lights went down, the curtain went up, and we came on. We started off our routine trying to act as sophisticated as possible. And everything was going along very well until something snapped. It was one of Ray's red garters. The other one fell. It was the first time he'd ever worn them, and the last. The audience howled, but in spite of it, we finally managed to get through our dance. When we made our exit, I put on my bobby socks, Ray got into his slacks and sport coat, and we decided we never wanted to grow up.
Well, you've grown up all right, Gracie. Why, in your new picture, My Baby Loves Music, you and Bob Crosby have quite a love scene. You're good in it, too. Yes, I think your pop would say you're really set now.
No, Erskine. That will take a lifetime. Pop appointed himself critic. He'd say, Ray, you could have done that a lot more. Not more so-and-so. He'd tell me all kinds of things that were wrong with me. But a couple of days ago, I was having lunch with a very close friend of his. And the friend said, you know, Grace, lots of times your father'd say to me, you know, she was all right in that picture, but I'm not going to let her know it. You know, you got to keep them on their toes.
Well, Gracie, you keep trying. You're never satisfied. You were a singer and a dancer, and now you're acting in this picture, Follow the Boys.
I know, and I want to be an actress because that's a little frame of ground, Erskine. The only thing that still haunts me, though, is the gag business. For instance, the other evening, I was entertaining servicemen at Damascus, and all of a sudden, I saw familiar faces. Here were the boys I'd entertained back at an eastern camp. They'd been overseas in battle and were home on furlough, but...
But, Gracie, MacDonald had the same jokes, I tell you?
Right. So I just told them. I said, boys, you laughed at these months ago. Guess you'll have to be polite and laugh at them again tonight.
Well, tell me, do you have any gags in your new picture, the Olson and Johnson See My Lawyer business?
No, I just act and dance in that one, Erskine. Odd enough, though, I wear a bird costume, and the very first dancing costume I ever had was a bird costume. Mommy made it. I still have it, and it will always be the most beautiful costume in the world to me.
Well, it would. You're that kind of a girl, Gracie. By the way, any truth in these gossip rumors about you and a certain boy who's in the Air Force?
Well, yes, Erskine, there is a boy. But right now, there are lots of boys, and there's lots of important work to be done for those fellas. So personal plans will have to wait until after the war is ended. So I'm leaving now on a hospital and a camp tour very shortly.
Well, good for you, Grayson MacDonald, and thanks very much.
Thank you, and good night, Erskine.
And now, Truman, you look like you have something important on your mind.
Indeed I have, Erskine. When someone offers something for nothing, you naturally think twice before accepting. But when that someone is Uncle Sam, it's a different matter. He offers you the greatest investment in the world, $100 war bonds for only $75. You can't go wrong with a deal like that. And the more bonds you buy today, the quicker you will be able to buy your long-awaited peacetime pleasures. Buy an extra $100 war bond today for extra luxury when the war is over. Now back to Erskine Johnson for spot announcements from Radio Row.
Yes, radio is an important part of Hollywood, too. Did you know that the old professor, Kay Kaiser, and his bride, Georgia Carroll, will spend a month this summer vacationing in Mexico? Doctors believe the change in climate will help the arthritis from which he's been suffering. Kaiser had to cancel an overseas trip because of the illness. Danny Kaye, the Broadway comedian who scored a hit in his first picture, Up in Arms, will make his radio debut this fall on CBS. Kaye will be starred in a $16,000 a week variety show. Someone asked Al Pierce the other day whether Bing Crosby was the oldest son of the Crosby clan. No, said Pierce, Bing Crosby was like his horses. He came fourth. And that's all for now. Our guest for next week will be Alan Ladd to tell you his own story, another interesting Hollywood personal. Until then, this is Erskine Johnson saying goodnight from Hollywood and Vine, movie crossroads of the world.
From Hollywood, American Products has presented Erskine Johnson's Hollywood personals. Intimate glimpses of the stars by the man who knows them best, Erskine Johnson. Our guest tonight was Miss Grace MacDonald, star of Universal Pictures. And we're looking forward to meeting Erskine's guest for our next program, Alan Ladd. This is Truman Bradley speaking and saying goodnight from the movie Crossroads of the World, Hollywood and Vine.